Please, let's do it. Week 7. Do I seem angry, Taylor? I don't like to be angry. I don't want to be angry. I'm not mad, but something I'm sure this made you angry also, but the Browns won a game they absolutely should not have. And I'm sort of, am I driving the Browns bandwagon somehow this season? I feel like somehow I started that. I said it early on that I believed after that win against the Bengals Week 1.
Yeah, I mean, it's that defense, man. Myles Garrett, like, basically against that entire team. 2 forced fumbles, 9 tackles, 2. It was, his stats from that game are utterly unbelievable. Statistically, they have the best defense in the last 50 years. Like, that's mind-boggling and crazy to think about. The best defense in the last 50 years.
It was really terrifying to watch what the Browns are doing. And yet, in a game where they're letting up 38 points, yet winning the game, right? Yet still defensively, all the numbers about Garrett still apply. But I'm sorry, the Colts made a play on 3rd and 4 at the end of that game, which should have been the end of that game. That was it.
Yeah.
I thought that was it. I mean, illegal contact to hand the Browns 1st and goal. And granted, the Browns had a ton of attrition to overcome in that game where Ford is coming out.
I've got
to
give Gardner Minshew credit where credit is due, though. He obviously played in their win against the Ravens. He played in this game against the Browns. He's a great quarterback, arguably the best backup quarterback in the league right now.
And Taylor, a week after really – looking awful against his former team. The game that everyone thought he was going to come out, right? The game against the Jaguars, everyone thinks that's the game where he's going to come out and play spectacularly, and he loses 37-20 and then comes back and has a game where, I'm sorry, that was the Colts game to win. It just irks me when I see a play that a defense makes in a tough situation. I mean, 3rd and 4. It's sad. You're right. It's sad. So I'm gonna try not to be mad. We're gonna give credit to the Browns since that's how we started the season. I started the season giving credit to the Browns. We're just gonna go right back to giving credit.
Now, what is a concern for them is their backup running back Ford is now injured. So that's gonna be interesting to see how they fill that void.
And we already were
and we don't know what's going on with Deshaun Watson. Kevin Stefanski Wednesday today said that he was not planning on going on IR, but then we saw him. They didn't put him back in the game. Injured his throwing shoulder, wasn't concussed. They checked for concussion, didn't have a concussion, but now they're saying he's still day-to-day. Something weird is going on there.
And again, tough play. I mean, you know, to when you see a quarterback taking a hit, sprawled out, you know, you just feel, okay, wow, you know, what's going to happen there? But, okay, credit to the Browns, that's fine. Let's move, though, same division.
Light on my
phone. It feels like there is a light shining on you, Taylor. You have been chosen. You are the chosen one.
I am the chosen one.
And we'll get to another Taylor shortly when we talk about the Chiefs briefly. We're not going to talk a lot about the Chiefs. Talk about it briefly. But I really – look, the surprising score of the day, I mean, 39-38 is an amazing score. Doesn't – you know, that's not very often. And that was an incredible final score in that Colts-Browns game. But you had said earlier that maybe the most surprising game of the day was the Patriots beating the Bills. But I'm sitting here telling you, no. I thought 38-6 – from a scoreboard standpoint, you know, maybe the outcome of the game, where you see the lines.
Well, I think that this was a game that people had highlighted. There was 2 games this weekend that people said that were possible Super Bowl previews, was the Eagles and Dolphins, and then the Ravens and Lions, the 5-1 Lions that people thought could potentially come into Baltimore and shake things up, especially after the Ravens are coming off their trip to London, are not as well rested as the Lions, obviously. But what a performance that the Ravens really put on all around. Lamar Jackson looking like his MVP form. I think a big part of that came down to the receivers not dropping passes like they had.
Not dropping the ball.
Like just 101. But no, Lamar played fantastic. And it was just interesting to see a lot of the analysis after the game about how in the past, traditionally, when Lamar would have felt that pressure, he would have taken the ball and run. And sure, he would have converted a lot of first downs, but he's developed so much in the sense that rather than feeling that pressure and just taking off running, he's standing in the pocket, making the throw, making those passes that are the same passes that everybody's been wanting to make this whole time. He's proving game after game that he is a quarterback first.
He's MVP level Lamar Jackson. right? He's that scary 2019 version of Lamar Jackson where you're looking at it saying, all right, anything's possible when he touches the ball. And it seems in that game, I mean, again, 28-0 is about as dominant as you can be in a first half, but it seemed watching specifically the first half of that game that every time you glanced at the field, Lamar was throwing the ball to Mark Andrews. And it seemed as if the Lions never touched the ball. I mean, that was dominating.
The Ravens had one turnover, which I appreciated Harbaugh saying he was not happy about that going into the half, just because they had so many close games this year and games where teams have come back. So I appreciate the fact that he was saying, you know, we're not taking our foot off the gas. I'm mad about that fumble. Let's get it together before we come out. And they really did not take their foot off the gas that entire game. It shows that they really are much better than I think even their record says.
Well, here's what's interesting, Taylor. The Ravens aren't going to get full of themselves because they've obviously had incredibly deflating losses. I mean, you look at the loss to the Colts and the loss to the Steelers, those are going to be these constant reminders that we're not quite where we want to be. And that's a great message from Harbaugh. Even in a game where we dominate 38-6, an opponent which everyone thinks is on this level, we're still going to go back and say, you know what? We're not quite where we want to be.
And I think that there's a lot to say there about the Lions in that regard too. Yes, the Lions are really good. They've taken such a big step, but they are playing teams primarily that are in their division and they've got a horrible division. So while they are very good, I'm all in on this Lions bandwagon. I do believe in their team. I don't think that they are as good as maybe their record.
That's fine. And that's okay. They're going to have a path and a chance to get to the Super Bowl. The Lions are going to have a chance
Absolutely.
To get to the Super Bowl, and that's really all you want is to give your team a chance. All right, let's go to what you thought was maybe the most.
But hold on. This just like also comes, like, let's bring this up. The AFC North, obviously the playoffs don't start today. We're a long ways out. But if they were to start today, it would be the AFC North and the NFC West, right, with the three teams that are going to making it into the playoffs, Steelers, the Browns, the Bengals. It would be Ravens, Steelers.
And Browns.
And Bengals would be on the outside looking in, I guess.
Who saw that? I mean, the bottom line is we know that division is obviously stacked.
How does Tomlin pull it off, even with just like not that impressive of a team? It just shows how good of a freaking coach he is.
Again, to just not have
Pickett to Pickens is saving them.
Pickens is so special, isn't he?
So special.
I mean, Pickens is really just special and just fun to watch in a way where it's so unpredictable and he just makes
the Pickett plays awesome. Horrible the first three quarters of the game, then puts it on somehow in the fourth quarter.
And then is unbelievable. I mean, just like he was against the Ravens as well. All right, so that division clearly. I mean, look, you're talking Browns, Bengals, Ravens, and Steelers, and all with a significant shot at the postseason here in week seven. That's unbelievable, really. Who saw that coming? When the season started, that was going to be the division that we were all speaking about.
I think we did, right?
We were
all over it.
We are because we thought the Browns could really be something. I'm not sure that we saw the Steelers at this point, but we did think Browns, Bengals.
Well, Ravens, they had a lot of praise coming out of the preseason with the progress that Pickett had made.
They've made, and again, after that week one, you know, that dismantling by the Niners week one, it felt like, okay, you know, enough, Steelers were moving on, but they have proven that, no, they are right there. All right, Taylor, what you thought was maybe the most surprising game of Sunday, certainly, the Patriots and Bills, you know, not when you look at the score, the final score, you say, okay, that doesn't make necessarily a lot of sense on paper. And if you go back and watch the last 5 minutes of the game, it seemingly was going to be all right. I mean, obviously the Bills weren't wiping the field with the Patriots, but the fact that the Bills score late, take the lead, and seemingly it seemed
like... Are the Bills just not as good as we think that they are?
Something
The Patriots about- have lost three straight games. The Patriots are struggling. The Bills have swept the Patriots the last 2 years. And then somehow, Bill Belichick, kudos to him, gets his 300th career win.
Fittingly against the Bills. Fittingly against the Bills, I would say. I mean, the Bills had some heartbreaking, heart-wrenching losses, certainly to Brady and Belichick during that span. I mean, the Bills have been in some games where they absolutely thought they had the Patriots on the ropes.
But let's think about this, though, too. If you go back to last week, Monday night game, I think it was Bills against the Giants. The Giants Sunday night game, it looked like the Giants were going to win.
And had, and as we said, had the Giants done the right thing at the end of the first half, the Giants would have been in position to win that game on Sunday night. So somewhere in that game is probably the answer to what's going on with the Bills. Did that game tell us more about the Bills or the Patriots? I think you're right. It probably told us more about the Bills. The Bills are just capable of smashing a team like the Dolphins, yes, but also just as capable of losing week one in a game where Aaron Rodgers gets knocked out, losing to the Jets in New York, and then losing that ugly, really inexcusable game on Sunday to the Patriots. That I just did not see. Frankly, credit to Mac Jones, credit to Belichick, credit to the Patriots all over the place, because that was a game where it was supposed to be a cakewalk for the Bills. And I thought when Josh Allen scores at the 2-minute warning and they're up, it seems like all is right in the world. Okay, the Bills are going to squeak out another win. They didn't dominate, but it's going to happen. And no, the Patriots say we've got a last gasp and absolutely showed that they did. And that's, you know, in so many ways, that was, I'm sure, for those fans at home, making up for that ugly, disgusting shutout loss to the Saints that they had to watch. So now maybe they feel that the season is a little righted. Not quite. All right. Sunday night football also, Taylor, you know, obviously an ugly, awful loss that the Eagles had to the Jets. Now, one thing I didn't say last week,
it's not that awful. In my opinion, it's not that awful. I know I'm always the one that's sitting here saying, you know, it's not that awful for the Eagles, but the Dolphins have the number one offense in football. They have the fastest offense. I mean, they're not a team to be overlooked.
Not at all. The Jets loss was bad. The Dolphins, this was going to be, I mean, it could, especially the Jets loss was bad for the Eagles because the next game on the schedule was the Dolphins. And you're thinking, okay, that's going to be a brutal game and a shootout type of game with these two offenses. And frankly, both defenses really showed up to play in that game also. That first half was to see what the Eagles did to that Dolphins running game.
Yeah.
With negative yards in the first half rushing by the Dolphins, that just goes to show you. The Eagles are for real, and I'll say this much. The loss to the Jets was bad. The one thing we didn't mention last week, losing Lane Johnson in that game changed everything for Hurts in that rushing game for the Eagles. So there's a little bit of a grain of salt. Still an inexcusable loss, but we'll say this much.
I'm not worried about the Eagles.
What you said about Sirianni, though, to me just earlier in the day, says it all. You know, what they did with that play, that brotherly shove, whatever you want to call it,
they're the only team in the league, which you've said this, they're the only team in the league that really has it down, that can pull it off each and every time.
What an advantage, Shell. I'll say this much. No matter what the play was, whether it's that push, whether it was some gadget play, to know that you can gain a yard whenever you need it, it's arguably the greatest advantage in the league right now is the fact that the Eagles,
I would say, it's parallel to having Justin Tucker as your kicker.
There you go. There you go. To know that in the scenario where most teams have to question.
They've got to really debate.
And you're sending Tucker out every time, right? There's no question. We know when we get to this point in the field, there's no question. There's Tucker. The Eagles on their own 28 in a game that they're on score says
if every team could do it, they would.
And if every team in the league can do it, they would. And Sirianni is saying it. I mean, he says, where's the camera? So he can look directly into it and say, if everybody could do it, they would. And they can't. So that's a ridiculous advantage. And it was on full display for everybody on Sunday night. And I don't know what, Taylor, you asked, how is it that they do it so well? I don't know. Jason Kelsey's got the answer somewhere. I mean, it helps that Hurts can basically move a car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it does help that your quarterback can squat 600 pounds, of course, but that was wild. And also AJ Brown is just some weeks he looks like he is just the big kid amongst boys. I mean, he just really is unbelievable out there. He is dominant at times, and that was special. All right, Taylor.
Let's finish us off with one final thought.
Okay, Taylor, there's a word that you and I don't know that we can say it anymore. The Chargers, it's been a tough 7 days for the Chargers. I just think the Chargers know every year their barometer is the Chiefs.
I can't even blame the offense, though.
No.
Herbert has a broken finger. He's still managing to pull off unbelievable plays, stays in there. It's what is going on with that defense yet again.
The first half of that game. Again, some games on Sunday, the first half told us everything. Lions, Ravens, for sure. And I'm sorry, but the Chiefs and Chargers, that game in the first half, what Kelce did in the first half.
Yeah.
And from
Taylor's such effect, right? They're now saying what he's averaging with her in attendance and without.
Yeah, 9.5 catches.
He had 179 yards, a touchdown. Yeah, he had a crazy game.
What's amazing in that game is, as I go back and look, Mahomes has 4 games in his career with 300 yards passing in the first half. That's – talk about unfair advantages. Yes, we're talking about these cute – unfair advantages, Justin Tucker, the Eagles being able to push for a yard. The ultimate advantage in the league, clearly, is Mahomes continues to be. It's not even that exciting to talk about anymore. But we're not allowed to say the Chargers. I don't know. We will come up with on the next episode, Taylor. We will come up with whatever the Chargers need to do so that we can say their name again. I don't know if it's going to be 3 wins in a row, if it's going to be beating the Chiefs. Unfortunately, they don't play the Chiefs again until the last week of the season. But they're going to have to do something that just says, we're back, and I have no idea what that could be. All right, Taylor, let's catch up. There's plenty more for us to do. I cannot wait, but this week 7 just had so